We can't put together a bunch of zeros to equal one. Okay, and if therefore if you have less than four tokens, it's not going to count. If you didn't get the first part, it's because something happened to the recording device in the first part. What a shame, because it was done so nice. Chaval. So therefore, according to Rabbi Hanani, Rabbi Yehudah Parsi, Rabbi Yochanan calls that there's no din of parts of omid meruba ala parts if you don't have a makam of arba'at tefachim in each ped separately. Most of the one, Vatanina Makifim Bekani. I don't get it. Wait a second over here. But there's a special mission. You can use pegs as a mezitza. Now, yeah, certainly there's no arba tefachim in a kana. A kana is a thin little thing. I'm like, what are you getting mixed up? Look to Beni Pachot Mishlosha. The case of Pachot Mishlosha is Kisat Tum, or something is love, and it doesn't matter how thin the thing is. Because the whole thing now is one solid piece. I'm talking about when you don't have love. So now you have to stick together little pieces that are less than four tokens. Less than four tokens, no kashivas at all. But Lagabi love, anything has kashivas, because it's all filled. There is no makom parah. Ask me. Rabbi Yosi be Rabbi Bon b'shem Reb. The whole makom mikiva she'omid rav ala parah mutar. He argues on what we just claimed Rabbi Yochanan said, and he says it doesn't matter. If you have omid rav ala parah, you do not require there to be a minimum shear in each one of these amudim or kanim of four tefachim. Perek Revi, Halacha Gimel, Mesechus Kilayim. Hanuteya Shura Shochamesh Kifanim. Beit Shammai Omrim Keren, Ubeit Hillel Omrim Eino Keren, Ash Yushtei Shulot. So somebody who plants a straight line of five vines, Beit Shammai holds that is a Keren. Beit Hillel holds, no, that is not a Keren. You need to have two rows. Lufisa, Hazareya Arba Amor Shebe Keren, Beit Shammai Omrim Kidei Shura Achat, obviously, the din of Pentu Gdash and Leah is not said on whatever the Kerem happens to be. You know, somebody has a 500-acre Kerem and he plants a Zera next to one of these vines, he's not going to ask for the whole 500-acre Kerem. So what defines the area that he offers? The local Kerem, whatever the shear of the Kerem is, that is the shear that he's going to offer. Therefore, paradoxically, Beit Shammai comes out Bakula in this case, in a sense, because according to Beit Shammai, you're only going to make the area directly in front of you. That Shura is going to be the way we define the Kerem. In terms of the numbers, man, we're going to go through the cases and see actually how it boils down number-wise. But according to Beit Shammai, the first Shura is a Kerem. Once there's five vines there. Therefore, we don't go behind it because those five vines now are themselves a Kerem. That's all that's going to be out there. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, the two Shurot, we're going to go through each case and see what the cases are. If you want to take a look in the our portion of the cases over here, what it seems to be saying is that according to Beit Shammai, the first row of five will be out there. And according to Beit Hillel, the second row of five will also be offered. That's what it seems to be saying. Now we'll talk about exactly where the Zera was in order to offer it. The Gemara will discuss this right now. Says the Gemara, the Rouge, the Zera, Keneget Kulam is what it should say. When we say that according to Beit Shammai, you only offer five Shulot, and according to Beit Hillel, you offer the first Shura of five, and according to Beit Hillel, you offer the second Shura of five too, that is talking about a case in which you made a row of lettuce, let's say, all along the Shura. So therefore, Beit Shammai said, okay, fine. So the entire Kerem is all Kalaya Kerem. But the Kerem refers to the first row of five, right? That's a Kerem. But according to Beit Hillel, that's not a Kerem. How is a Kerem a row of five? The Kerem has to be a minimum of two rows. Therefore, each place that you look over here, you have to go to the two rows behind it, and those two rows are also going to be part of that two vines behind it. But since you have the entire line, the entire row behind it will also be also, right? Because wherever you look, you've got two rows. So it comes back, and in this particular case, according to Beit Hillel, twice the number of vines will be also than according to Beit Shammai. But let's say Now it gets more complicated. Let's say Zorak and Negada and Satan. Let's say that you planted a lettuce next to the vine smack bang in the middle of the five. You have two on either side. So I'll die to the Beit Shammai or Seret Kol Ashura. So Beit Shammai says, okay, take the local Karen. The local Karen will be two on either side. That gives us a five, a vineyard, right? So the five vines in a row are going to be us. I'll die to the Beit Hillel. As far as Beit Hillel is concerned, we would offer six, because we would have to offer shalosh, kineged shalosh. In other words, the three middle vines would be aser, and there's no way for us to determine which one is the one that Beit Shammai, according to Beit Hillel, I mean, there's not much added by the picture. The picture is rather obvious. So there's no way for us to determine, I'll leave it to Beit Hillel, which one should be the particular one that's Echad Yotzei Zanav. So obviously it has to include either direction. Okay? There's two vineyards over here. They both extend that way, mm-hmm. Right? Since they both extend that way, I don't need the Echad Yotzei Zanav because I have to read by three. There's no point in discussing the Echad Yotzei Zanav. Anyway, 2x2 is a given. So 2x2 in each direction. That's the meaning of a vineyard. Once I have for each one of those 2x2s anyway an additional one, so fine, I don't need to get into the question of Echad Yotzei Zanav in that case. Okay, so that keeps it simple. Zorak and Neged Habinayim Shabantai. Now we already get more complicated. Because suppose what we do is, we take a shura, obviously if we're talking about a benayim, it means an even shura, so that we had not five, but we had six in the shura, right? And now we go ahead, and we plant right smack bang in the middle of the shura. In other words, not connected one of the vines, but connected three vines on either side. So now, I'll die to Beit Shammai. It's a given about Beit Shammai that two on either side are going to be Aser, which gives us four. Which one is the fifth one, I'll leave? I mean, how do we define the local vineyard, I'll leave it to Beit Shammai? Hamishit Ezohi, which one is the fifth one? Because, of course, according to Beit Shammai, you need five, not four, to be a Karen. Well, Hima Yuzra in Kovim Le'afat Mehem, if one of the sides was closer than the other side to the middle one, then that defines the direction that it extends towards, and that becomes the fifth one. Harehi Asura, it should say. all in the first row. All in the first row. So, it's the one that's also because it's closer. So it's the fifth one, and the one on the other side, the Shishit, would be Mutter, because you have the Karam with the first five. But, in love, if you cannot determine one thing any closer than the other one, so Hare Elo Asurot, it should say. And both of the extended ones are Asur, so the five become six, simply because there's no standard to define which one is the fifth. Outside of the Beit Hillel, we start off with a given that we have Asur Arba Kineged Shtayim. So in other words, the two, Kineged the first two, it's certainly going to be Asur, right? But we still need an Echad Yotzei Zanav, correct? So if we here take a look at the picture over here, since our Echad Yotzei Zanav is equal in both directions, so we end up with six. There's no way for us to determine the Echad Yotzei Zanav being in one direction or the other. Right? So I'll leave it to Beit Hillel. We have this case. It's right in the middle. Two, by definition, become the Karam. One in either direction becomes the Yotzei Zanav.
That's
Beit Hillel, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that the three has to get a front row because that's where some of it would be closest to the...
Right. Okay, so that's if you plant it in the middle. Now how about Zorak Kineged Karen Hazavit? How about if you planted something right at the corner? Now that's this case over here. Here's our vineyard, and you're putting the plant at the edge. Right? So now, according to Beit Hillel, the row of five could be extending north north-south, or it could be extended east-west, which would mean that a total of 9 would be offered, and 5 in this direction, 5 in this direction. Because the cherub is equally defined in both directions.
Okay.
Right. Is this still on, by the way?
I guess it is.
Yes. So, according to Beit Shammai, what we would say over there is a zo shura asur zu vezo. If you're coming to define which one is asur, we have no choice but to say both of them are asur, because how are we possibly going to define it otherwise? I mean, each one, that corner vine is the beginning of the two kramim equally. It could be extending north-south, it could be extending east-west, which means that a total of 9 vines become asur. No, that's not the way we plant the carom. We don't plant the carom in a diagonal. It's not a mathematical game. It's a question. Yeah, but that's not how it's planted. The way it's planted is what defines it.
Wouldn't this be a California and you have just 2 rows, but if we had a regular carom there, that it would be 5?
Diagonal?
No, you go. Why wouldn't it be a group of 5?
It is a group of 5. There is no 2 and 3 according to Beit Shammai. Talking about Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai doesn't hold 2 and 3. How else is it going to go? That's not the share of the carom, even in Beit Shammai. The primary carom, according to Beit Shammai, is a shura of 5.
More so than a 2 and 3.
Correct. Yeah, that's Beit Shammai shita. So therefore, that's what this whole shita is bringing out. What do you mean? His master would have a din of account, but it's not the primary account. There's nothing that demands of us looking at it in that fashion. So if you have a row of 5, it's fine. So, So now, according to Beit Shammai, we got a problem. Then, so if we're going to ask for 9 vines in this case. I'll guide to the Beit Hillel. According to Beit Hillel, well, we're going to have 2 by 2. That's a given. And then and the Achas Yotzi Zanav, on both ends, Yizanav Mikan Umikan. In other words, according to Beit Hillel, the corner 4 are obviously a carom, right? In this case. That's a given. That's our corner 4. Now we can look at this carom extending up the same way that Beit Shammai could look at it extending up. Or we could look at extending across, the same way that Beit Shammai could look at it extending across, and that's my Yotzei Zonav. My Yotzei Zonav would be in the first row, extending north or extending west, either way. So that would be the equivalent case. I'll leave it at Beit Hillel.
Why do I need this one?
Because this is the fundamental term, 2 by 2. Now I have to add my Yotzei Zonav.
So they come out there?
In this case, they come out less, right? Because I said, you have to take a look at each case, because it works out very differently in each case. Now, sometimes Beit Shammai is very much l'chumra, sometimes Beit Hillel is very much l'chumra. Zora, Megad HaBeinayim, Shebekeren HaZavit, I'll guide to the Beit Shammai, Oser et Kol Ashura, I'll guide to the Beit Hillel, Oser Shtayim Kenegad Shtayim, Le'achat Yosei Zanav. Now, so over here, the question is, if you plant right here, so you put your plant in the first row between the first 2 vines, right? So Beinayim, so it relates to the picture, yeah? You plant between the first 2. So again, according to Beit Shammai, so that's Beit Shammai, Oser et Kol Ashura. Because the carom that you've planted in is the shura of 5. Well, back to the Beit Hillel, say Shtayim Kenegad Shtayim, Vachat Yotzei Zanav Mikan. According to Beit Hillel, you're going to answer Shtayim Kenegad Shtayim. So that it's 2 in the outside, 2 in the one right next to it. That's a given. Okay? That's it. So you have the same that he said was 5, he takes those 2, which are directly next to the plant, the 2 next to the plant, the 2 above the plant, and then you would need Echad Yotzei Zanav in both directions. Echad Yotzei Zanav up from the second one, and Echad Yotzei Zanav from that one. So Echad Yotzei Zanav Mikan, Echad Yotzei Zanav Mikan. The it should say Shlishit, which is what's bothering Moshe Baruch, Shlishit Ezuhi. So which one is the Shlishit? Shlishit Asher Birishona. The Shlishit in the first, in other words, the first Zanav is the Shlishit in the first row. That Shlishit should be Shurali Shana, which I showed you with the third one sticking out on the bottom row. And the Shlishit is also the Shniyah should be Shlishit. Or is it, shall we say, it's the Shniyah in the third row, which is an extension going now to the north rather than to the west. Either way, we could look at it. So the question is, why don't we look at what is closest to the which is what Moshe Baruch was asking. So that, okay, I mean, that's the Rosh's kasha on this figure. We just explained it the way the Rosh explains it, and the Rosh doesn't like it because of that problem. Why in this case are we choosing the Daka, those two? Okay, that's it for the day. Somebody who plants two vines, can they get two vines, even though we said before the Mashmot Alibet Beit Hillel was that you needed two rows, which would be two rows of three, you can be Yotze, a virtual Karen, by planting one Zanav, which then makes it the equivalent of a full six vine Karen of two rows of three. Shtayim Kineged Shtayim, Me'achad Me'atayim, Ushtayim Kineged Shtayim Ve'achad Be'emsa, Eino Karen, Ashi Ushtayim Kineged Shtayim Ve'achad Yotze Zanav. So if you have two rows, and in the middle of those two rows, you plant one, so that you have one row of three, an empty space, and then two. That's no good. Or if you have two, and one in the middle, that's no good. You need two, and Eched Yotze Zonav. Now Eched Yotze Zonav happens to be Machlokas Rishonim, because the Rambam has a very difficult shita that doesn't fit well into the sugya here. But the Rambam shita is the Eched Yotze Zonav, is a zonav, and like most zonavs here in the middle, nobody ever saw a cow with a zonav on one end. So the zonav over here is also in between the two vines, and that leads to problems in all of the sugyas that we've just had about how it is we're defining it. It sure does not seem to add up. He has a much more difficult approach to the sugya. We just were mafarish that only the Rosh, not only the Rambam. I don't know, those are very broad terms. How are you going to fit into the sugya before? So Rabbi Chiya Bar Bava, Shem Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, says, you know, how do we know all of these things? I mean, that's, you know, it's like, what does it come down from the sky? I mean, so he says, well, look, it says, Eretz Kanan Migvuloteha. What does that mean, Migvuloteha? That these gvulot exist somewhere on the ground? What are they, Udot Pashetach? I mean, what exactly are they? Right? So since the Torah says Migvuloteha, and after all, the Torah describes the Gvulot. So what's the point of saying Zot Yalachem Arz Gvulotah if we know that the Torah says exactly go from this point to this point to this point? What are you adding? Zot Arz Gvulotah. It must be Gvulot Shebadu Lehem Akvani. And what we're saying is that you should accept the Gvulot that the Knanim made up for themselves. So in other words, wherever I give you a halach that is gvul-oriented, which includes the din of Karen. Karen is, how do we define the borders of a Karen? Look to the Knanim, and that's how to define the Karen. And since the normal nitiyah is shnayim, keneged shnayim ve'echad yotzei zonav, therefore the normal Karen is echad yotzei zonav. By the way, there's a medieval letter that traces the planting and spot of the Kronim at the time. All the Arabs that lived in the area planted Shnayim Kineged Shnayim Ve'echad Yotzei Zonav like the Rambam. So here it's the Gvulot Ha'aretz, but so Rabbi Ami, boy, I don't get this. Lamedim and Aknanim. What are you talking about? I mean, why in the world is it Aknanim? It's just, that's the Allah Lamedim Sinai. Shmuel says that b'modeid loksan, you could say. B'modeid loksan, when you take a measurement of the diagonal, so in other words, you go from the shura of three to the shura of two, that it would be the way that you would be modeid the distance of arba. So in other words, what he's saying is, draw a line from the end of the two shura to the end of the three shura, but don't be marked totally as if there was another line over here. Remember, we had before a question, where are we marking from? Okay. Where are we marking from? Are we marking from the virtual vine? Are we marking from the actual vine? Says he, neither. Draw an imaginary alakson. Take a string and draw it from the last vine in the two to the last vine in the three, which extends it outward somewhat. And along that triangle, you're marking arba amos from that edge. That's it. Rav Yossi bar Zmina became Rav Yochanan? No. Ataloat yilachat mituachan. You actually have a virtual vine. Because since a keren really is three to -3, there's no such thing as a keren of two rows of two at all. The way that the Echad Yosei Zonov works is by creating a virtual image in which the mind is supposed to fill in the other vine. So if the mind fills in the vine, then you have to be marked from that vine, because that's the whole point, is that we're looking at this as a true keren of two rows of three. So it's like we said before.
Why would you say that it has to be three and three?
Because we don't
like to. But if you decide to, you have to be marking.
Because if I only have five lines, then I won't be marking. I don't see your question. If I need 3x3, then I can't have a carom of five.
But you have to be marking from that as if there was 3x3, too.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been a carom at all. Okay, so Mumela, according to, if the whole Indian is that we're filling in the extra one, then that virtual vine has to be marked from also. Rabbi boy, not a Stein Kineged Stein, Ve'achat Yosei Zanab. Stein Kineged Stein, Ve'achat Yosei Zanab. At Lotzlo Acheret Netu Akan, Ve'acheret Netu Akan. So suppose you have now, in other words, you have a row of four, and then a row of two on top of it, right? Which gives you Stein Kineged Stein in two directions, right? Should we take a look at a picture? We don't have the picture.
We had it earlier with the two and four.
We had it earlier? No, I don't see it anywhere. But it's the same as this picture. The part that's surrounded by the... It's the part of this picture that's surrounded by the... Right, so Stein Kineged Stein, and Stein Kineged Stein, you have essentially, right? So then you have now a Zanav in either end, right? Now, if you would give... According to Shmuel, how do we look at that? Do we say that we have over here two shurot of four gefanim? Right. So, which one of these exactly is considered to be the zanav? I mean, so we look at it as an entire karam in this case. And we have our question: is there a zanav on a karam gadol? So, do we look at this separately? So we have two separate things here, Akas and Tuakan, and Akas and Tuakan. Natash Shalosh Kineged Shalosh. On the other hand, let's say you have two rows of three. And then you have Akas Mechuvenet Kineged Emtaim. So now, that one, how does that one work? Is that one Atroakilo Akeret Tuakan Lasoto Kerem Gadol? Are you going to say that we should give a Zanav and say that each one of these two kramim have the equivalent of a vine planted there? So that would give us 3x3. But 3x3 is a Karen Gadol. And we sort of run into a problem, because if it's a Karen Gadol, then we don't have a Zanav. So how exactly do we look at this? And then we should make it a Kerem Gadol, and then it should have a Mechol HaKerem. So he said the Din of Mechol HaKerem is only said by a Kerem Gadol. How far do we extend this halacha of virtual vines? Lo kein adama in zanav lekerem gadol. I mean, you said before that there is no zanav to a kerem gadol. So over here, if we don't give it a zanav, it's a kerem katan. But when we do give it a zanav, it's a kerem gadol. But if it's a kerem gadol, we don't give it a zanav. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do about this case? Hmm? So, no, that's the Sha'ashu Gadol. We don't, given that we start off with a Kerem Gadol, that's what we said. Because then, if we start off with nine vines, stop driving me crazy, that then you don't give a Zanav because you already have a Kerem Gadol. And you don't say a zanav unless you need a zanav to create the din of the kerem. But over here, you already have the din of the kerem. And don't confuse me. We're over here, you don't have the din of the kerem. But the question is, Mali came zanav the kerem katan la'atoto gadol. The question that I'm asking is now, do you make a kerem gadol out of a zanav of two kerem katan? The way I set it up, that's exactly what you would be doing. Or do we say that since without the zanav anyway, you've certainly got a full din of a kerem, you've got a complete set of six gefanim in this case, and six gefanim, I'll leave it to everybody, is a true kerem. So there, even in a kerem katan, you wouldn't give a zanav, because you don't need a zanav once you have already six vines. So is there an Indian to create a sense of a zanav in order to give it a din of a kerem gadol, or was zanav only said to create a kerem katan? That's our question. Now that wasn't clearly addressed before. Because before us is ein zanav kerem gadol, that's where it is, a kerem gadol. Nobody said ein zanav kerem gadol, meaning ein zanav la'asot mi kerem katan kerem gadol. That's a good question. Very cute.